Hi, Peter Abernethy here again, Ministry of Health. Welcome again this morning. Could I just ask, one way we're going to run it this morning is because we've got people on teleconference, is that when you ask questions, someone from the panel will repeat them just so that they can be heard from there. So we're sorry if it causes any delays, just so people who are listening can actually listen. So again, I'll hand over to Health Minister Tony Miles.
Good morning, everybody. Julia Peters from Auckland Regional Public Health is on the speakerphones here, and she'll be contributing from Auckland. What we can advise, some new details today. We're going to cover the message from the World Health Organization in Geneva today to reiterate the three types of groups that we are communicating important messages to, and also to give you an update on the numbers around the country who are probable and those who are suspected cases. The World Health Organization this morning has moved itself from phase three to phase four. They have advised countries to put more effort into mitigation rather than containment. Thirdly, they've advised that borders should remain open. And fourthly, they've advised that they'll be working with agencies for the development and discussions around a vaccine to the swine flu, but that is 6 to 8 months away. Geneva has also advised that they consider a move to phase five as imminent. The latest numbers that I've been provided by the Ministry of Health, we will be providing one of our regular updates, the latest numbers that we have for you, and we'll try and provide that on a regional basis. But what we know currently is that there are 10 probable cases, those are the Rangitoto cases, plus an additional 56 people have presented with symptoms. These are people who have been in Mexico or the United States in the last 2 weeks. They are people who may or may not have influenza A or may not have a particular condition. The Ministry has made it very clear that there are three key groups that we continue to want to communicate with. The first is the passengers on NZ1 on Saturday morning. There were 10 cases of influenza A on that flight. These passengers have access to Tamiflu, and their contacts will be dealt with as well. The second is the wider area of concern, and that is all passengers who return from Mexico and the United States in the last 2 weeks who are displaying symptoms. They should be in touch with their general practice. This includes passengers on NZ5 on Saturday, where the three North Coast students who have negative were on that. And the third message is for those who are having normal flu. We are entering the flu season, and many people will be getting flu, and the message is that those people who haven't been to Mexico or the United States in the last couple of weeks getting flu-like symptoms is treated as though it was the normal winter flu. So could I hand over now to the Director General.
Thank you. As I said, Minister said, we have Julia Peters on the line from Auckland. We're happy to take your questions now in relation to this, but I would want to reiterate, yesterday we had some complaints regarding people not being able to hear questions further around the country. So I will look to repeat your questions before handing them on to the panel.
Karen, wondering, Laurie Mason, TVNZ. The results from the NZ1 patients, the Rangitoto patients that were sent to Melbourne, when did those results leave the country to go to Melbourne? And when are we expecting results? Is it true they only went at 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon?
Yes, the question there, everyone, was when did the result, when did the samples of the NZ1 cases go to Melbourne? We can ask Julia, but I have that information to hand. They went to Melbourne yesterday afternoon. These samples take a level of preparation and packaging that was undertaken, and they left for Melbourne yesterday afternoon. Julia, did you want to add anything to that?
No, thanks, Stephen. That's correct information.
So that's the fastest we could have possibly. There's no sense that there was any delay for any reason. That doesn't.
Yeah, that's my understanding.
Yes, Sally Roberts, the pathologist from Lab Plus, did indicate to us on Sunday when we got the provisional results that it would be Monday afternoon at the earliest that we could get the samples away to Melbourne. And the laboratory in Melbourne is giving it its highest priority.
With regard to that priority, is there any chances of speeding that up? Because in America, some of the results coming back from the CDC within the same day. It's still going to take till the end of the week, is it, here, for those results?
Julia?
Sally did indicate it would take several days for us to get a definitive result, so I imagine we'll be receiving that towards the end of the week. I have said this already this morning, I think it's really important that we do get the correct result, so, you know, the time that it takes will probably be worth it.
How are we getting on tracking the passengers on NZ1 and NZ5?
The question there was update on tracking of passengers NZ1 and NZ5.
Do you want me to answer that?
Yes, thank you, Julia.
As far as I'm aware, all the passengers that we are able to contact from NZ1 have been contacted, and they will all be receiving Tamiflu today. I do need to say that the passenger locator cards are not always have complete information, and there are a number of passengers that we haven't been able to contact yet, and we will be continuing to try to contact them.
I think I should point out that there was a team of some 25 people working on this at through the Auckland Regional Public Health Service yesterday afternoon.
And if I could just add to the second part of your question, which was about NZ5, just to reiterate what was mentioned earlier on, that now that we have the negative results from the North Coast students, the passengers on NZ5 are being treated like all other returning passengers from areas of concern. So we're not doing special follow-up for all of the individuals on that plane now. We're simply using the same advice we're giving to all returning passengers from the US and Mexico, that if they develop symptoms, they should contact their GP.
Can you confirm, though, that if those results had been positive rather than negative, that the passengers on NZ5, you wouldn't have started contacting them until 3 days after that arrived back?
They're contacting... sorry, Julia, that, just to repeat the question is about... a three-day gap in contacting NZ5 if they turned out to be positive. In fact, the process had actually already started in advance of getting the even the influenza A results. So, in fact, a number of NZ5 passengers have already been contacted, and they're being recontacted today to give them the updated information that they no longer have to take special precautions unless they happen to develop symptoms.
Dr. Jacobs, how many passengers were there on NZ5, and what time exactly did it land?
Karen Brown asking question, how many passengers on NZ5 and what time did it land?
Julia.
NZ5 landed on the same morning as NZ1, an hour and a half later. We were informed about that school trip late on Sunday. We have been contacting passengers from NZ5. As Mark said, now that we have the results from the three North Coast students as being negative, we are reassessing our strategy, both with respect to the students and the passengers on the aeroplane.
Sorry,
they
are.
How many?
How many passengers from NZ1 have been unable to be contacted? Julia?
Sorry, I'll just give you a number. Let me just get that correctly. 18 people. The total number of people on the flight were, I think, 356.
If I can just add to that, though, I mean, we actually always anticipated, in fact, we spoke about the fact that we didn't think we'd be able to track down everybody, if only because it's easy, clearly, to track down New Zealanders returning to New Zealand, where they know their home address, they know their phone number, but for people visiting New Zealand, they might, for instance, have only provided their hotel detail for the first night, and after that we actually don't know where they are. And so we're always reliant on the key role of the media in getting information out to the broader community as an additional way of getting information to those particular passengers on NZ1, as well as to anybody else who's recently been in Mexico or the US.
Can you tell us more about the 56 suspected cases? Have they, obviously they've all come from the US or Mexico within the last 2 weeks, but are there any more details about what parts of the country and whether there are groups involved?
Yes. The question was, can we tell you more detail about the 56 in the suspect category and where they're from and around the country and where they've come from?
They're scattered around the country. At this age, we know only that they've presented with symptoms. We haven't tested them yet, and until we do that, we don't know if they're part of this group of people.
I can confirm that 8 of those are in Auckland.
Yeah.
Auckland region.
Just from a ministry perspective, we have processes and systems in place with all public health units. We will be asking, or they are will be feeding into a web-based system that we have connected with them to ensure that we will get a virtual update of figures ongoing. And we'll be able to update you accordingly.
They haven't been tested for influenza A or for swine flu. You said they haven't been
swabs.
The swabs. The first test we've been influenza A.
I was going to clarify that obviously the influenza A test is the initial test. If it turns out that they come back negative for influenza A, then we don't do further testing on them because of swine flu being in that family of viruses. If they do have influenza A, if they come back positive, then that's the indication for more testing to be done to see which influenza A it is, whether it's swine flu or one of the many human strains of influenza A.
When those results come back? In a day or so?
They have a pharyngeal, a nasopharyngeal and a throat swab taken, and the laboratories are giving those specimens priority. So you can get a PCR result within about 24 hours.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions?
Yes, have any decisions been made about continued voluntary quarantine for the Northcote group?
We are reassessing that this afternoon. We phoned the parents of the 3 students with the negative results last night, and even though it was very late, they were grateful for that. We made a decision not to immediately release them from home isolation. We wanted to consider that this morning, and we haven't yet made a complete decision because we are aware that the situation is evolving and we just need to take stock before we do that.
I would want to reiterate here that we're clearly erring on the side of caution and to stress again that anyone who has exhibited symptoms and has contacted the health sector has received follow-up from the health sector and where appropriate treatment.
Those 56, have they all been offered Tamiflu, and indeed what is the situation with distribution of Tamiflu at the moment at the airports? Who is it being offered to? And in primary care?
I can provide some comments on that, and then maybe Julia can talk about the situation in Auckland. Our general approach is that if someone has symptoms of any sort of viral airway infection and they've had recent travel to the US or Mexico, then they are being offered Tamiflu, they're being tested, and they're being asked to stay at home.
Are they being offered Tamiflu for free?
Yes, from the national stockpile. And there's no problems with accessing the national stockpile, and we're releasing as much as is needed.
What about people coming off flights?
The only people coming off flights that have been offered Tamiflu are the people coming off NZ1, and that's because we had the higher index of suspicion there because we've got the probable cases there amongst the Rangitoto College group because we know they're influenza A positive. The other flights we're not offering Tamiflu as a routine. We're really focusing on trying to get people to be seen very quickly if they start developing symptoms, if they've recently returned.
We had a young lad this morning who we had on breakfast television who had been was plucked from the plane and spoken to and would have some symptoms and was given a mask to wear and has to stay home for a week. Is that somebody who that they would be immediately given Tamiflu? And exactly what is going on in that airside? How carefully are the staff going through looking at the passengers coming off the planes right now as of this morning?
Well, maybe Julia, perhaps that's something that you could talk about.
We have mounted a border response since Sunday night. Our staff are meeting all flights from areas of concern, that's Mexico and North America. The passengers are given information on the plane about the current situation globally and in New Zealand. They are asked to complete a detailed passenger locator form so that should we require it, we can actually easily contact them in future. Then they are asked if they have any symptoms of interest that they must declare themselves at the border, and our staff are checking them out. Now, to date, we have, last night we met 7 flights and we examined 14 passengers. None of those passengers actually had turned out to have symptoms that we thought were significant. I can't answer the question about the young lad with the mask. I would have to get some further advice about that information for you, but we could do that. And that border activity will be ongoing. As advised to us by the Ministry of Health, we may need to upgrade that.
The question was how much of the national stockpile of Tamiflu has been released?
There's normally adequate supplies in each hospital, and if we have given them access to any more they need, I'd say what's been released so far is well within what each hospital has. We're not talking about very many, more than a few dozen doses really.
Tamiflu usually goes on sale over the counter for the winter flu season, and that begins this year on Friday. Will that still be going ahead, or will it have to be available by prescription over winter?
We're not proposing any change of
that. No, the question there was Tamiflu's availability over the winter period.
Yeah.
And
it's usually over the counter, so you don't need a prescription. That period begins on Friday.
Yeah.
Is that still going to be?
Do you want to we're not proposing any change to the usual system with Tamiflu in New Zealand.
Okay, so we're not going to.
We're not going to change what the system was last year. So we've got no plans to do that.
So it will be available over the counter from Friday without prescription.
Yep.
I would stress there's also the influenza vaccine that is available through primary care, and as a normal protective mechanism, and we would continue to encourage people to have the normal flu vaccine.
One pharmacist I spoke with said they're confused about whether that is going ahead this Friday. Will you be contacting pharmacists to let them know that it will continue as usual this season?
Well, we'll be talking to MedSafe and just make sure that the messages are clear.
When you say you're encouraging people to have the flu vaccine, there's no guarantee that it will protect against swine flu.
No.
I mean, I can probably add that. It was a question about whether the seasonal influenza vaccine can protect against swine flu. No, there's no evidence that it would. I mean, we can't definitively say yes or no to that question, but we can't assume that it will provide any meaningful protection. But, I mean, it's in people's best interest to have seasonal influenza vaccine, particularly people that are in risk groups.
Yeah.
Because influenza affects many people in New Zealand every flu season, and people die every year as a result of flu. So it's important from that perspective. It's a reminder from that perspective. But also, obviously, at the moment, we have a very high index of suspicion. When someone comes in to see us and, you know, they might have been overseas recently and they've got flu-type symptoms, then we're going to be treating them as a suspected case until we're confident they're not. Now, a lot of those are actually going to have either seasonal influenza or they're going to have a cold or something like that. And so, you know, if we increase our coverage of seasonal influenza, that will probably also help clarify the situation a little anyway in dealing with potential cases of swine flu.
Last question.
Just lastly, no further tracking, just to clarify, of passengers on NZ5, right? How many passengers were there on NZ5?
We're continuing to track people off NZ.
No, we're not.
The number of passengers, Julia, is about 280 something, is it? In, on NZ5?
Yes, I don't have the number
we'll
in front of me, but it would be
update.
About late 200s, 300. We have been tracking the people on NZ5.
How many?
We are reassessing the strategy this morning.
No, but how many have been contacted?
About 60, I think.
So that's what we need clarity on. Are you reassessing whether you will continue tracking them or will you not continue tracking them?
Actually, I can answer that. We had a discussion only just in the last little while with the Auckland Public Health people as well, and what we discussed at that meeting was that we didn't need to actively follow up the NZ5 passengers anymore. So the plan is to deal with them like other returning people from Mexico and
right,
the US.
We can take questions individually later on, but I think we might just finish with the key messages to the key groups that we will need your support in continuing to push this message out.
Yeah. So there's really three key groups when we're trying to deal with this issue. Firstly, there's the group that was on NZ1, and obviously we'll continue the work with that group, and they're at home in isolation, they're receiving Tamiflu and so on. Then there's all the larger group of all of the other people that have recently returned from the US or Mexico, so in the last couple of weeks. And the advice to them continues to be just go about your normal business, but if you start developing symptoms of a virus, then you should ring up your GP first and then go and see your GP straight away. So then we can then start that follow-up with the public health people. The third group, which is overwhelmingly the biggest group, is everybody else in New Zealand who hasn't been overseas to the US or Mexico in the last couple of weeks. And a lot of people in that group, most of us are in that group, a lot of people will be getting viral illnesses. A lot of people have got them this week, a lot of them will get them next week, and we are at the start of the flu season. And so if you haven't been overseas to the US or Mexico in the last 2 weeks, if you get a viral illness, you just deal with it as if you'd gotten a viral illness last year. So I just do all the normal common sense things. It's no more significant than it would have been 12 months ago to have a cold or a flu.
Yep. So this overall message is that it's a time for caution and concern, but not alarm. So thank you all very much, and we will continue our updates throughout the day. We're going to try and provide you with those regional updates on numbers around the countryside, and we'll also keep informing you of information as it comes to hand. Thank you.